Well, May is Bike Month, and next Friday, May 17th, Park City Municipal and Park City School District encouraging you to bike to work, school, and about town. In the studio to tell us more about Bike to School Day, I have Park City Senior Transportation Planner Julia Collins, along with McPullen Elementary School Principal Bob Edmiston. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So I'm guessing, thank goodness it wasn't today, because it was freezing out there, literally. It's 28 when I showed up this morning. So tell us about some of the activities you've got planned then for next Friday, May 17th. And I guess it all starts with breakfast?
Well, it does start with breakfast, but actually let's backtrack a little bit. So outdoors, walking, biking, it's part of our community culture, and we're excited to celebrate. We partner with Steinville Basin Recreation to put on some events that morning and throughout the day. So we have neighborhood meetup locations, and everyone kind of rides together with a police escort to the corner of Treasure Mountain parking lot. Mm-hmm. We have breakfast from 7:30 to 9:30 that morning, and you know, I'm going to kind of hand it off to Principal E to talk a little bit about what we do with the kids and this really exciting community event.
No, it's a great event. We've been doing it for a while, and it's great that it's getting more organized, more attention and resources. We have the students meet at different sites, from over at Park City Heights to the Mark Building. They get escorted by police and staff. We end up at that common site, which will be on the corner of Treasure, the Treasure parking lot to the Treasure Junior High. And it's all to, I think, twofold. One, always remind students and give them an opportunity to practice safe road rules, regardless if they're scootering or on the bike. And then a great reminder for our motorists to always be looking out for people on our roads that are using other means to get to school. And it's especially important for our school setting, where we barely have 30 students ride a bus to school most days. So they're coming by car when it's bad weather, but when the weather gets nice, we have quite a crew that ride bikes, ride scooters, and so giving them an opportunity to learn the rules of the road just makes sense, and it's fun.
It's fun.
So that means you've got about 400 kids that ride or walk to school?
At McPullen, we have just a handful of students that regularly ride a bus. So our parking lot gets busy with bikes or cars, one or the other.
Oh, okay. So a lot of them get driven as opposed to...
Parents will drop them off, absolutely. Yeah. But we have just as many parents, especially with these newfangled electric bikes. We have a great crowd of parents that use all sorts of alternative approaches to get to school, and it's a lot easier.
Yeah, so do you see a lot more than on this particular day than you would on another day?
We are packed, especially at lunch. We block off our parking lot in front of the school, and so during lunch, the kids get to have what we call bike rodeo, and they get to ride around and have fun. So there will be bikes everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, so kids coming from, Park City Heights to Park Meadows, right to
Prospector.
The stuff across... Across from the schools, the
right.
Prospector area, yeah. So, I mean, do they all have safe routes to school?
Well, the tunnel's going to help that a little bit in front of the high school, but we always have had that, or for quite a while, the tunnel by Treasure. So I do believe between the bike path and some of the sidewalking that's been done, most students can't get to our school rather safely. Kearns is always a concern, but... there are safe ways to get there. Maybe this is an opportunity to make those more better communicated to our community.
Yeah, so Julia, I mean, once we get that tunnel built there across between the high school and kind of Cook Drive there, will we need to build any more infrastructure to make pathways safe to get that connection there? Or?
That's a good question, Leslie. Yeah. You know, I think at this point we're focused on the tunnel, and you know, we're committed to our partnership with the school district to work to always be advancing safe routes to school. Yeah. One more thing I wanted to add about the event is that, you know, while we're here today talking about the school, but this is open to the public.
Yes.
So anyone can come. We're going to be at the corner of Treasure Mountain parking lot. And we'll be there from 7:30 to 9:30. Breakfast sponsored by Wasatch Bagels and Park City Chamber. We also have some incredible sponsorships from Mountain Trails Foundation, Kohl's Sport, the police force.
Yep.
And, you know, we're excited to be having this event hosted at the Park City School District. Okay. So as Principal said, you know, a reminder that if you're not attending these events, Just please be on the lookout for students, cyclists, and pedestrians all coming to that Kearns campus between those that hour that morning.
Okay. And again, if people want to commute to perhaps work as opposed to the school-aged children, any precautions taken for them? The kids have police escorts, but I'm guessing the adults don't.
We will have our VMS signs up notifying motorists to be aware of cyclists on the road. And it's a good reminder for everybody this season, as you know, we see a growing number of cyclists on the road every year. Yep. Just to be mindful that this is part of our community, whether it's e-bikes, whether it's pedal powered, just that we, you know, continue to see more and more cyclists on the road, so we should be aware.
Okay, so again, kids coming and going home.
Yes.
That
yep.
day. So
yes.
Yeah. So both morning and afternoon. And Juliet, real any news with regard to the bike and pedestrian paths that we had heard about maybe on Deer Valley Drive between the roundabout and Bonanza Drive?
That's a great question.
Nice.
Yes, that's a great question. You know, this roadway, the section of roadway between Bonanza and Marsac, actually all of Deer Valley Drive up to the Marsac roundabout is SR-224, and that's owned by UDOT. And we're working in partnership with them to help look at that corridor and make it more accessible for bike and pedestrian use. Right now, we're currently in the design phase, working within UDOT design standards for some additional bike activity, and you know, hoping to move forward with engineering and see something later on this summer.
Okay, so do we have some times that kids need to be at these certain locations if they're going to follow?
Oh, good point. Right, Park City Heights, right around 7:30, same at the mark, is when we'll start collecting them, and shortly thereafter, as a group, we will start heading over to Treasure. Aspen Via is probably closer to 7:45. Where we'll collect those students, and then we'll be coming to the Arches Park, which is right there at the end of Comstock. We'll pick those students up as we come up from Park City Heights. And so between 7:30 is a good time, 7:45-ish is when we'll all start kind of centralizing onto Treasure. And it's always been fun.
Yeah. Okay.
And I like what's going on. Jeremy, they got a big barbecue out at the ranch, and we can use the e-bike, so everybody should take advantage of it. The kids love it.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Julia, Bob, thanks for your time. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, one of local photographer Mark Maziar's geoline photographs was selected for the 95th annual Spring Salon at the Springville Museum of Art. He joins me now in the studio to talk a little bit more about that honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I didn't know, but I was told this is really a big deal to have a piece in this show. Just, it's difficult to get into? Is that how it works?
It is. It's open to artists from all over the state of Utah, and I think it's definitely the longest running show in Utah. It's probably one of the most popular, and it's got a pretty wide range of genres. So there's a lot of people who want to get their work hanging in the museum.
Okay, but this isn't the first time you've had something there, huh?
No, this is my third time. I'm pretty honored to say that. Hopefully I can keep that role going.
Yeah, so did you submit a couple of pieces? Or
You're limited to just two submissions every year. And so I did both two pieces for my Geoline series, which is kind of an abstract photography series. If people don't know, they both look a lot like paintings, and especially the way I present it. It's not like mounted and matted and framed behind glass. I mount it to a piece of wood, and then I encase it in this epoxy resin. So it has a kind of a cool, like, you don't really know exactly what it is, which is, I really like that. I like when things raise questions, and this art definitely does.
Yeah. So a geoline, what do you mean by that?
So it's a concept. Mary Beth that helped me come up with the name because she's so good with words. What I do is I take existing photos of mine that I really like. I take a really narrow slice of them, and then I digitally expand them. So it's basically they're kind of bands of color or lines of color and gradation. And they've got, in general, they have a pretty kind of calming feeling to them. The one in particular that they picked is a oceanscape, and it's got really cool like blues and greens, and I just feel like it's a very soothing photo. Somebody, in fact, on my Facebook page commented that it looks what a deep breath feels like, which I thought was a really great description of it.
Yeah. Okay, so I was thinking it was the Great Salt Lake. I didn't know, so it's the coast.
It is, yeah. Mexico, actually.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And it's big. I mean, it's like 30 by 20. So
exactly.
How is it that you can blow up photographs that big to make them still look good?
It's that's kind of that's how the whole project started. It started I really first started doing geolines maybe about 10 years ago when people, there's this constant race for megapixels. Like everybody's saying like, well, my camera's 24 megapixels and the next person wanted a 30 megapixel. And everybody just wanted, that's all they were worried about is how many megapixels their camera was. So this project was kind of a response to that. And I was trying to figure out how small of a file, like how few megapixels can I get and still have an emotion in a photo. And so the way I do these, it's primarily digital work, but this photo, for example, is like 1/100th of a megapixel. And I feel like it still evokes some emotion. So it's how little digital information can I have and still evoke an emotion? That's my goal.
So is it for sale?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Everything's for sale, isn't it?
And for people who may not know, I mean, of course, you see it if you're headed south on I-15, you'll see the sign for the Springville Art Museum there and, what, probably an hour's drive?
Yeah, just over an hour, depending on traffic. It's a great, Springville's a cool little town. It's just a quirky little, I guess it's getting close to central Utah. It's a little south of Provo. The museum is beautiful. It's kind of a Spanish colonial architecture from the 20s or maybe the teens. Beautiful museum. It's a cool little town. I think people should go check it out. Like I wish I knew about it before I even entered because I didn't know about it until I entered. And it's great. It's the museum. I think it's open every day except Sundays and Mondays. It's not open tomorrow because they're doing their art ball tomorrow. But I would encourage people to check it out, especially if they're going south. It's I think 5 minutes off of 15, if that. It's worth a quick trip.
All right. And then their work is on display till when?
July 6th.
Okay. So we've got some time about that.
Yes.
All right. Let me see. Also, meanwhile, you had announced that you're stepping aside from the Pianos for All program that you started about 7 years ago already. Tell us a little bit about that program first.
So that was born on a city tour to Fort Collins. I did the leadership Park City program is about, I guess, nine, eight years ago. And that kind of instilled the whole idea of really getting involved in town. And for some reason, the idea of a micro nonprofit really appealed to me. So I kind of had my eyes and ears open for some kind of opportunity. When we're on city tour in Fort Collins, they had an active art piano program also. And I was there. Allison Kulo was there. She, I think, was representing the historic Main Street or historic Park City Alliance. And we both just really responded to the pianos. Like, it was really great, colorful pianos. A lot of people were playing them. They were set up in Old Town in Fort Collins. And we're like, let's bring this idea to Park City. So we got back and started working on it. And we were initially set up as a pure nonprofit, where we actually got money. Lift PC, Give PC was our biggest fundraiser. Actually, it was our pretty much only fundraiser. And we just started collecting pianos, like donations of pianos, and we found locations around town in the county to put them, hired artists, and had them decorate the pianos. And I think total we've done about 14 or 15 pianos. Allison actually worked on the program for the first year, and then I've been doing it myself since then. I think we still have about 10 or maybe 11 pianos between Park City and the county.
Okay. And they just kind of go away just due to the elements?
Elements are our biggest problem. Yeah, it's hard finding a good location. The location that's outside that people can play at any time they want, yet not bother anybody, yet still protected from the weather. So, yeah, they're generally pretty old pianos that are, I mean, they're given to us because they're not perfect pianos. So I've learned a lot about piano maintenance over the last 7 years.
I bet. Yeah. So what happens to the program? Does it go away?
No, it doesn't. The county still has an active program. The Arts Council funding budget got cut a little bit. So they're looking for grants to continue the program. But I think they have about four or five pianos now in the county that are pretty active. The city is talking about trying to start the program up again, but they haven't made any action on it yet. So hopefully it'll continue without me.
Yeah. So if people do have a piano that they're willing to donate to the program, I mean, what happens to it? I mean, it has to get stored somewhere.
Yeah. You know, people should still contact me because I actually have a couple people. There's a couple nonprofits in town that actually want pianos for their programs. So I could still be a clearinghouse for pianos if anybody has one that they want to give to a worthy nonprofit in town.
Okay. Was it just time for you to do something else as well?
Yeah, I'm excited. Mary Beth and I have a couple projects in the works, and I've got a project working on with my daughter Daisy. And yeah, time is short, so I'm trying to get as much stuff packed in as I can.
Okay. What's the best way to reach you, though, if somebody does have a piano that...
Have an
email?
Email, yeah. Yeah, mark@maziarz.com is probably the best bet. MAZIARZ.com.
Okay. All right, Mark, anything else you want to mention?
No, thanks, Leslie.
All right, yeah, congratulations again for your entrance into the Springville Museum of Art Spring Salon. Again, that's on display through July 26th.
End of July. July 6th.
You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. KPCW News Time, 8:38. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, coming up on Monday, May 27th, Park City High School's National Honor Society holding their 9th annual Memorial Day 5K run to honor loved ones lost from the Park City community. In the studio to tell us more about that, I have Honor Society members Caroline Wadman and Grace Wiechek. Good morning to both of you girls.
Good morning.
Hi. So who wants to give us a little bit of background on the memorial run?
I can. So this will be my third year on the NHS board at the high school. So every year, this is like an annual event that we put on each year to, just as you said, commemorate those we have lost in the Park City community. It started, I want to say, almost 8 years ago with the Park City Five. Just a group of five seniors from one class that passed away all within a year of each other. So a very tragic story, and we just kind of put this on each year to commemorate their lives and those that we could, like, just people that have impacted the Park City community. So it's a very cool event that we put on, and we have banners for everybody that line the track, so you can see everybody, families who have created a banner to kind of commemorate those loved ones. So you see that as you walk around the track, and it's just a cool event that brings the community together.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that banner. And that anybody can purchase a banner to help you raise the funds?
So actually the National Honor Society pays for the banners each year to make them. We reach out to families that we know that have lost someone recently and say, hey, we would be more than happy to make a banner for so-and-so. We usually ask for a picture and a quote, and then the dates, and so, and then put their name. So it's just kind of a special something for families to see as they walk around the track.
All right. So is it for anybody who's passed, or just somebody young?
Anybody in the community that has passed. Mm-hmm. It's not closed off to just like Park City High School graduates. It's anybody that has been in the Park City community. So.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the details then of participating. As I mentioned, it's Monday, May 27th. You need to pre-register now?
You can pre-register or you can register day of. We'll have like a booth set up, and there will be people directing. Like showing you where the registration is. We have t-shirts that you can get day of. Registration starts at 8?
Yes, registration opens at 8 the day of. The prices, as far as that goes, there's a small group price, a big group price, and then an individual price. It's $20 for an individual for pre-registration, $15 for a small group of 3 to 5, and a big group of anything exceeding 6 is $10 per person.
And then you can pre-register on NHS's website. There's a tab that says Memorial 5K on the top right, and that's where you can like register beforehand.
Yeah, so what's that website then?
Is it parkcitynhs.weebly.com?
Okay. And again, so you've kind of got a festival atmosphere set up as well.
Yeah, we have a student band playing, and there's raffle baskets that are made by our members, and then some are made by us. And you can go around and write, like, there are themes for each basket that the members do. So it's a fun atmosphere, even if you're not there to, like, run the 5K. You can walk it, or you can come listen to, I think it's Sundog Sky who's playing. They're a band of students from Park City High School, and they'll be playing during the beginning of the race.
Okay, so how much are those drawing tickets? I mean, the tickets for the...
You get a free ticket with every registration, so that's included, and then... I think each additional raffle ticket you buy after that is about $5 a piece.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, so all this money goes to NHS? Is that how it works?
No. So this is just a nonprofit event. So we are going to, all the money we raise will go to student scholarships for these outgoing seniors this year. It'll also go to recently this year, the NHS adopted the BASA school in Mali through the Wayla Sabugu Alliance in Salt Lake. So we've been raising money throughout the year to help run this school in Mali. So part of the funds will also be going to that school in Mali. And then another portion of the funds will be going to the homeless youth shelter in Salt Lake.
Oh, wow. Okay, and then you also have a student scholarship then? It's kind of the NHS scholarship for a high school senior, or is it for the memorial scholarship? I mean, which one is it?
Yes, so it's part of the community scholarship program that the high school has each year. The NHS has one of the 30 scholarships. We usually give scholarships to about three or four students, ranging from like $500 to $1,000.
Great. So the 5K kicks off when? What time?
The 5K is scheduled to start at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With registration at 8, yeah.
All right. Or again, online at parkcitynhs.org.
Weebly.com.
Okay. All right. You'll still take sponsors then to help you
Absolutely.
Pull this out?
Yeah. Yes.
And again, they could find more information then on the website?
Yes, they can.
Okay. How much money do you usually raise? Any idea?
We usually raise probably $3,000 to $4,000. We usually have about 300 to 500 runners.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like it's getting bigger too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good work, ladies. Again, that's Caroline Wadman and Grace Wiechek, again with the National Honor Society. Thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you.
KPCW News Time now, 8:46. Well, this summer music scene program by Mountain Town Music kicking off with the annual Vibe Tribe member party on May 17th and live music returning June 2nd. In the studio with a look ahead at the summer concert season, I have the executive director of Mountain Town Music, Brian Richards. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Awesome. So the May 17th Vibe Tribe members kicking things off.
It is, yeah.
With the jambalaya, is that what you're still calling it?
A little bit. You know, it's a New Orleans-themed party, and we're going to be holding it out at Skull Candy offices this year, which is really cool. Have you been out there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's super awesome. And so that'll be on May 17th. We have David Halliday's New Orleans project playing, and it is a party for our Vibe Tribe members and our supporters, because they're really what makes Mountain Town Music what it is today.
Okay, so tell us about being part of the Vibe Tribe to be invited to this.
You can join the Vibe Tribe by going to mountaintownmusic.org, and memberships start at $50, and they go all the way to $5 billion. Leslie, you're a $5 billion donor, aren't you? Yeah, and we do monthly parties for our Vibe Tribe members. We have one at the Skull Candy office on May 17th. Then on June 7th, we have our annual kickoff picnic in Peoa. And then on July 17th, we'll be doing a picnic at the Park City Bandstand for our classical evening. And so the idea is just to get our members involved and get them hanging out and enjoying all that Mountain Town Music does, and you know, giving them these sort of intimate experiences where we can gather and kind of hang out.
Okay. Any idea how many acts you've booked for the summer?
There's about 215 musical performances this summer.
So are those like individual contracts that you have?
They are individual contracts. That's funny. If Michael and Jack are listening out there, they've been doing a lot of work on our contracts this past spring. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, it's awesome. It's a great opportunity for the Park City community, but it's also a great opportunity for musicians, you know, working musicians. And that's what, when I cut all these checks and we're putting all these contracts together, it's just great to see that we can involve so many people in this organization. So it's not only the attendees that get, you know, to benefit from Mountain Town Music, but it's, you know, your neighbor who plays the guitar or your grandson who plays the cello. And so it's really special when you think about all the people that lives have changed because of Mountain Town Music.
Yeah. So how many stages do you have to work with?
Are you 11 stages.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday nights we're at Deer Valley. Thursday we're out in the Great Lawn at the Joria Center. We're also at the Canyons on Thursdays and Saturdays, Wooden Shoe Park in Peoa on Fridays, Miners Park and Park City Mountain on Saturdays, Legends on Fridays and Sundays, Park Silly Sunday Market on Sundays, and we're at City Park on Mondays. And okay. Billy Blanco's on Sundays.
Okay. So the New Park stage, is that still under construction?
The New Park stage is still under construction, yes,
okay.
Unfortunately.
And then, as you mentioned, City Park, Monday nights, is that the Noches de Verano?
Yeah, we do Noches de Verano the first five Mondays, starting the first Monday in June. And then we partner with the Beethoven Festival for the last five Mondays of the summer to do chamber music in the park.
Okay. Again, that was a different vibe to City Park. It was kind of nice.
It's really cool. Yeah. You know, the Noches de Verano has been really awesome. This year we're, once again, partnering with the Kimball Arts Center to provide curated Latino-themed art projects for kids. And we're hoping to get a food truck to feature Latino-themed food. So we really want to celebrate the culture. You know, not just, you know, have a show or a concert, but celebrate what makes our Latino community so special.
Okay. And I think you're also the one that books Save of the Summit?
Yes.
So who have you got coming for that?
We have a really cool new band called Jake and the Heist, and that will be opening, and then the Lane Changers, who've kind of been a staple over the years. The Changing Lanes, it's kind of CJ has a bunch of different bands, so this year it'll be the Lane Changers will be the headlining act.
Okay, good dance band.
Yes, super fun.
Yeah, any big acts then for Arts Festival or?
Not Arts Festival. Arts Festival is mostly local acts. Most of the bigger acts are playing out the canyons. We have acts like Blitz and Trapper, The Motet, smaller acts like a Travis Brothership. We got Hayes Carl. So you can check out mountaintownmusic.org. All of the shows are up on the website right now.
Okay. And you do try to do a good mix then of kind of a national act as opposed to the local?
Yeah, I would say it's about 90% local. You know, wow. I think last year we employed 900 local musicians. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it definitely, you know, we tend to bring and feature more local acts, but, you know, we also book regional and national acts, especially at the Canyons and some acts at Billy Blanco. So we do have the opportunity to showcase lots of different artists, a diverse palette of music. So it's really exciting.
Okay. You involved at all with the new Bonanza Drive Muse Studios?
No, what's that?
Yeah, with the local place for local artists to come and just kind of...
Oh, you know what? We've had some ongoing talks with the Kimball about helping them sort of program, or not program, but develop what might be an amphitheater type stuff. But we don't have any stake in that game right now.
Yeah.
But we're always willing.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you want to mention? Again, just the website for people?
Yeah, mountaintownmusic.org. You know, again, join the Vibe Tribe. It's really awesome. We provide tons of opportunities to gather, to see music in intimate settings, and it helps us to put on over 350 musical performances each year. And so you're a lot cooler when you join the Vibe Tribe. Okay. Right, Leslie?
Okay. And then when did the Deer Valley concerts start?
Deer Valley concerts start Wednesday, I think, what is it, June 19th? I have so many dates in my head.
Okay.
I believe it's the 19th.
Okay.
It's either the 16th or the 19th.
All right, we can find that here really quick, find what that June date is. Yeah, 19th.
June 19th, yeah. Kicks off with Mud Puddles. I believe it's their 25th anniversary show. So they've been together for 25 years. So, and that's what's really cool about Deer Valley. You know, it does feature, the Wednesday night concert series features local bands. So bands that you've grown up seeing, bands that mean something to you, bands that have played your wedding, they might be your neighbors. And so that's what's really cool about gathering on Wednesdays at Deer Valley, is it truly is this essence of what makes Park City really cool.
Okay. Hey, Brian, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Leslie.